that is wine indeed. There is a wine that is wine indeed. Can you lift up your hands toward heaven and talk to the Lord? Say, be not drunk with wine, daring in its excess, but be filled with the Holy Ghost. Speaking to yourself in psalms, in hymns, and in spiritual songs, making melody in your hearts unto the Lord. You want to be full of God perpetually. You want to attain heights in the Spirit, from whence the utterances of men become the voice of God. You want to see from that height in Zion where God sees. Then you must ascend. Then you must rise on the wings of eagles. He said, have you not heard? Has it not been said to you that the everlasting God fainteth not? Neither is he weary. He said, even the youth shall faint. The young man shall utterly fall. Everything that is the strength of your natural abilities, It fails. He said, but they that wait upon the Lord, they shall mount up with wings like the eagles. They shall run, they shall not be weary. They shall walk, they shall not faint. There is an energy reserved in the Spirit for the sons of God. It is riding on that energy that makes us become invisible. Riding on that energy is what makes our ability not to be deflected. That's why you are buffeted on every side, but you do not faint. That's why you are pressed on every side. But you go on and you march on with the flags and the banners of Zion. Because you are connected to an energy that does not deplete. It is the realms of the immortals. That realm, it does not know corruption. The word immortal means incorruptible. It does not know corruption. It's an energy source that streams from the very throne of the monarch of Zion. An energy source that you connect yourself with. That you move by the strength of God. The ability of God. The wisdom of God. It defies everything that is natural. Angels bow down in adoration. We join our hands. As we lift our voice, we cry, holy. What is the Lamb? The angels bow down in adoration. We join our hands. As we lift our voice, we cry, holy. What is the Lamb? The angels bow down in adoration. We join our hands. As we lift our voice, we cry, holy. What is the Lamb? The angels bow down in adoration. We join our hands. As we lift our voice, we cry, holy. What is the Lamb? adoration. We join our hands as we lift our voice. We cry, holy. What is the Lamb? And just bow down in adoration. We join our hands as we lift our voice. We cry, holy. Think is the highest revelation of God? You have read the Bible. Do you think it's His mercy? Think it's His power? Do you even think it's His love? The highest revelation of God is His holiness. His holiness does not speak about His purity. His holiness speaks about the fact that He is in His own class, separated unto His own name. His holiness is the expression that there is none like Him. When we begin to contemplate the holiness of God, then you understand that the mercy of God is different from every other kind. You understand that the faithfulness of God is different from every other kind. You understand that the faith of God is different from every other kind of faith. There are many words for faith, but the faith of God is called pistis. That faith means the ability of God to do everything according to the counsel of His will. There are many words for love. You have eros, you have philia, you have storge. They mean different things. Eros is romantic love. So you could be attached to somebody because of the emotional flings that you have. Storge means companionship. It is a kind of love that we express with our family members. Philia is friendship kind of love. But the God kind of love is called agape. It is a love that is born from covenant. It is a sacrificial, unconditional kind of love. That kind of love is a revelation that God is in His own class. So even the love of God is a revelation of His holiness. He's separated from everything. That's why in heaven the angels don't call Him love. Every time they worship, they say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. The Bible said the four beasts, they stand in the presence of God, and they sing that song day and night. They don't stop. Because the beauty of the song is not in its melody. It is not in how worded the song is. And it is not in the tone with which the song is sung. The beauty of the song, it is the grandness of its revelation. That Him that sits on the throne is separated unto His own class. There is none like Him. Say, holy is the Lord. Holy is the Lord. Holy is the Lord. If you come to the point where you can discern the holiness of God, then you have begun your journey in the path of the Spirit. That is when you are consecrated unto God. You see, you can hear the gospel and be consecrated from the world and separated from sin, but you will become the God of yourself. But when the revelation of the holiness of God hits your spirit, what happens is that you are committed to Him eternally. That is where you can give away your ambitions. You give away your potentials. You give away your dreams because you have seen one who is separated unto His own class. There is none like Him. You begin to discern what a privilege it is for you merely to stand in His presence. Because not everyone has the capacity to stand in the presence of God. For us to stand in the presence of God is because he came and he died for us. It is through the blood that you have the privilege to stand in his presence, because he is holy. The Bible said, "Thou, O God, are of a purer eyes. Your eyes cannot behold iniquity." For you to stand in the presence of God, you must come in the Christ. It is in Christ that we make appearance. And everyone that can discern his presence and stand in the presence, the Bible said, they go from strength to strength. They go from glory to glory, from power to power, from splendor to splendor. The grandness of the revelation of the person of God is his holiness. So when we sing the song "Holy," it commands the highest level of reverence. The 24 elders that sat in front of the throne on 24 thrones, the Bible said when they sang the song, they fell on the floor, on the ground, and they casted their crown. What gives them stature, ranking, and status in heaven is the crown. The crown is the revelation of the authority sphere that you function from in the spirit. But every time they sing "Holy," they cast the crown away. Nothing matters anymore. Only God becomes the one that should be seen on the scene. His name is the Holy God of Zion. You don't know what it means to call him holy. That is why you sing the song and you keep your gate. You keep your domino. You keep your ecstasy. You keep your excellence and your relevance, because you have not seen him that is called holy. When John saw him on the Isle of Patmos, the Bible said, "I heard a sound as of a trumpet. And as I turned, I saw." He saw him. His leg was like burnished bronze. His face shone like the sun. And a sword came out of his mouth. A moment John saw him, he fell like a dead man. Everybody that saw the holiness of God, they fell down like dead men. Ezekiel said, "I was among the captives by the river Kabah, and my eyes opened, and I saw visions of God." The moment he saw the Holy One of Zion, he fell down like a dead man. Because when the holiness of God is brought on the scene, creation bows. It is in holiness that is distinguished as the Creator. Creator standing before creation, everything bows. The throne of judgment is called the white throne judgment, because that is the burnished revelation of the holiness of God. It is only when that throne appears that every creation will bow before him. His name is the Holy One. If you get that revelation, then you have begun to walk with the Lord. That's when you are separated unto his name. Angels bow down in our adoration. We join our hands as we lift our voice. We cry, "Holy, holy is the Lamb." The angels bow down in our adoration. We join our hands and we lift our voice. We cry, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lamb." The angels bow down in adoration. We join our hands as we lift our voice. We cry, "Holy, holy is the Lamb." The angels bow down in adoration. We join our hands as we lift our voice. We cry, "Holy, holy is the Lamb." The angels bow down in adoration. We join our hands as we lift our voice. We cry, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lamb." We cry, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lamb." The angels bow down in adoration. We join our hands as we lift our voice. We cry, "Holy, holy is the Lamb." The angels bow down in adoration. We join our hands as we lift our voice. We cry, "Holy, holy is the Lamb." In adoration. Can you just submit yourself to him? Can you submit yourself to him this evening? Forget about what you know. There's a realm you will enter that knowledge is inevitable. You will just know because you have entered the realm. There's a realm you can stumble into. That knowledge will no longer be a challenge. Because you have entered, you will just know. You will just know. Paul said he was not taught the gospel by any man. He broke into a realm. And because he entered that realm, he knew. There are a lot of people pursuing knowledge. Knowledge itself fails. But a man that can discern the holiness of God is changed into his likeness. The life of God begins to purge from his bellies, from his innermost. The grace, the unity, the purity, and the essence of God begins to burnish out of him like flames of fire. It's something you do consciously. What is the love? Angels bow down in adoration. Join our hands as we lift our voice with cry. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. A man that has discerned the holiness of God is on the path to greatness. On the path to greatness. Do you know, if not that Joseph knew the holiness of God, he would have terminated his life's journey in Potiphar's house. He would have become the prince of the house, the one that is most favored. But he would have ended in Potiphar's house. But when the offer of iniquity was given to him, he said, "Why will I commit this wicked act against God?" The only thing that but holiness could not stop him. Holiness could not make him commit anything that was wickedness against God. Even though the reward at the time was prison. And he went to that prison for 13 years. He was there without hope, without a future. But he knew the holiness of God. And the day of his showing forth, he was carried straight into the palace. And he became the second in command in the whole realms of Egypt. When you follow after the holiness of God, sometimes there is no reward in view. But one thing you know is that the only premise upon which worship is accepted in heaven is the revelation of the holiness. A man who does not have the revelation of God's holiness cannot worship in heaven. You know, it's not this kind of worship that we do with garbages on this part of the side of the divide. Yes, somebody comes to worship and he dresses elegantly, and the way he's walking, he is all about himself. Oh, he's talking and he's polishing his language. Glory to God. He's soulish. In heaven, holiness is only on the altar. Worship is only on the altar of worship. Holiness. Worship is only on the altar of holiness. A place where you give up yourself completely so that God can fill you. And you can extol his name. If you have not discerned the holiness of God, then you are not a candidate of worship. With your skill and with your talent, with the excellence of your voice, it does not pass through the veil of the divide. Because the divide will polish, it will filter the very words that proceed from your voice. It will filter it through the flames of fire. It's not the skill. It's not the excellence. It's the purity of worship. Separated unto God. How does that song translate into form? How it does not even appeal to the soul. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. 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 Holy, holy, day and night. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. Holy, holy. Then 10 million angels just gather and they say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. Holy, 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 holy is the Lord." It's a function of revelation. It's a function of light. It's a function of insight. It's only a man who has discerned the true essence of the immortals. Only such a man can stand on the corridor of worship. Only such a man can access the pavilion of purity. Only such a man can stand in the gate where iniquity is separated from righteousness. It is called the altar of holiness. If you have not discerned it, if you have not accessed it, you are only running around your soul. You have not been ferried through the divide. That's why even his spirit is called the Holy Ghost.
is the Holy Spirit, separated from every other spirit. There are familiar spirits, there are demonic spirits, there are dead spirits. But this one is called the Holy Spirit because it's separated. Not just because it's pure, but because it's separated. There's no other spirit like him. He's the governor in the spirit realm. He's the God of all flesh. It is by him that all things were made. When God saw the chaos on the face of the earth, the Holy Ghost had to brood upon the waters. The Bible said he walked upon the face of the waters. He walked. The Holy Ghost was brooding and shaping creation. The Holy Ghost was shaping creation. And when creation was bettered in the spirit, God watered him. He said, let there be light. Let there be light is a dimension of the spirit. It was furnished in the creation, in the spirit. Even the man that was created was first of all created in the spirit. He said, let us make man in our image. Let us make man after our likeness. And he said, in the image of him, he created them. The word create is the word bara. He was formed in the spirit out of nothing. He was an immaterial being. When man needed to function on earth, that was when that spirit was placed in the vessel. It's called the Holy God of Zion. There's none like him. The Holy God of Zion. Can you worship him? Sakiba ratamonia. Ele kaito brasabida. Yahoo watakamata. Imbaratamano kariatama. Ibura kibo basaba. Behua. Indru malasikoa. Baruka papetome. Azunala kandalia tibra matuma lahaske. Eri la como lo zondra pame la canoa. Hey, akuma la tama. Un zondro ombre manna sulle cate. Ivrina cabura tama la tuba la caitamata. Umu matalate. In zondro ombramba bala papalu. Riaca paparuta salamata. Hey, acabo sapena. Ina. Sacabarata papasu. Homo masacabote. It's the Holy God of Zion. Hey. Who sing songs of Zion to your name? I will praise. I will sing the songs of Zion to your name. I will sing.
the holiness of God, all your problems will just fall down. Because the revelation of the holiness of God carries you into the realm of God. And in the realm of God, nothing of the flesh exists. Anna was parried for many years. But the day that she discerned that there is no rock like our God. That day, solution came. She said, there is no rock like our God. That was why she could believe that God had the ability to alter her situation for good. And the moment that revelation hit her, she said, my mouth is enlarged over my enemies. My mouth is enlarged. Before then, she was being taunted by her enemies. But now she had come to find one that there is none like unto him. And he said, she began to laugh even before the child came. It was inside that revelation that she provided the utterance that talked no more exceedingly arrogantly. He said, for the God is the God, our God is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. It is before him that all men will have to do. He's the judge of all, because he's bigger than everything that is called creation. The revelation of the holiness of God. As you go home, spend time in his presence and ask him to translate his light into your soul until that revelation hits you. That is the only time you can pray accurately. Because everything that rises from you will rise from the altar of incense, an altar that has been separated unto God. We give you glory. We give you praise. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Give the Lord a shout. Glory to God.
Amen.
You may be seated. You know what happened? That was not part of my script. But what happened is that we touched one side of God. So he poured himself into the auditorium. I was teaching at the Bible school in the first class this Saturday. And the topic was not really a spiritual topic. We were teaching academic writing. I was teaching them book reviews, seminar paper presentations, writing of projects, thesis and dissertation. And I told the class that the last 1 hour, I was going to share with them the pillars of the faith. And when I shared with them the 12 pillars of the faith, the power of God was going to hit the building. But before that last 1 hour, when we were praying, I now heard a song in the spirit. The brother was leading the prayers, and as I began to hear the song in the spirit, I carried the microphone and I began to sing the song in the spirit. Sing the song. As I was singing the song, suddenly, the presence of God began to descend. It began to descend. And instantly we were deviated from our program. And we were caught in that atmosphere for 1 hour 30 minutes. So the last 1 hour was no longer held. The power that we wanted to move in was no longer in view, because a presence came into the building and we were quiet. We were not shouting, because it's not in the volume, it is in the supply of the spirit. We were not shouting. Shh, I told them to be quiet, just, and they just stayed. A song will come, we will lift it, we will just stay. And the souls of men was being purged. People were weeping. Some will stand and just fall down and begin to weep. God overwhelmed us. He's a person. And his realm has a protocol. There's a government that governs the operations of that realm. What we call spirituality is ability through the scriptures to discern the protocol of life and walk in it. It is not an emotion. It's not a sensation. It is the discernment of the protocol of life through the scriptures and walking accordingly that makes a spiritual man. A lot live according to the dictates of their senses because they feel spirituality is an emotion. So you come into the presence when your soul can touch the atmosphere and you feel hysteric and fall down. You think something has happened. And then you go back to your iniquitous living. Go back to your sickness. Go back to your pain. There's a protocol. It's a rigid path. He said,
therefore, having received a kingdom that cannot be moved. Your tears don't move that kingdom. Your cries don't move that kingdom. You only access it by faith. And that's why I say the just shall live by faith. It is until you find your feet on the path of faith, you cannot enter into the kingdom that cannot be moved. That's why we teach the scriptures. Because ultimately, that's what makes the difference. You see, your soul has three layers of interactions with the spirit. Your emotions, your mind, and your will. Your emotion is the most predominant realm of expression. And it is the outermost part of the realm of interaction of the soul. And that's why every little shift, your first response is in the emotions. But if you stop there, you will be shallow. And you may never know God nor walk with Him. Because the heavier molecules of the soul are not captured in the emotion. The emotion gives expression. The mind is deeper than the emotion. The mind houses the intellect, the memory, your thought. These are deeper transaction levels. So when God touches your emotion, you need light and revelation into His word for Him to permeate into your mind so that your soul can be renewed. Then you can walk with Him. Are we together? Then the deepest part of the mind, of the soul, is the will. That's the realm of action. That's why salvation was not procured in the emotion. It was not procured in the mind, the realm of reason. It was procured in the will. Until you choose Him, salvation is not in view. And corruption also follows this sequence. He said the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. The lust of the flesh interfaces with your emotion. The lust of the mind deals with the intellect. Because in the realm of the spirit, mind, eye, deals with intellect. That's why the seraphims are clothed with eyes. They have the highest realm of intellect so they can operate in the regions of the holiness of God. And then the will is the pride of life. The devil follows that sequence to corrupt. I will share the word of the Lord this evening so that I can go beyond your emotion through your mind to your will. Then you will choose God. That's the one you will carry to your house. That's the one that will make you study the Bible when nobody is there. That's the one that will make you stand up in the night when the Holy Ghost taps you and pray. See that Reverend Chris said, 7 years, the Holy Ghost will come by 10. If he chooses not to stand up, he will sleep and nothing will happen. And he will not break through. He may feel the tap of the Holy Ghost and then he may know that it's the Holy Spirit, but he may choose to sleep. Even tongues, that is our heaviest molecule of transaction. The Bible said it's with your will. Paul said, I will pray in the spirit. If you don't will, you won't. That shows you the depth of the operations of the will. So we share the Holy Scriptures so that we can make contact with your will. See, the power of God was already moving, but the goal is not to have people slain. The goal is to raise men. The fivefold ministry did not come to have people slain. Do you know one funny thing I saw in the Bible? Jesus said, who seek ye? He said, Jesus of Nazareth. He said, I am he. They went back, fell down, and got up again. Say, who seek ye? Say, Jesus of Nazareth. I say, I am he. I already told you. They went back, fell. They were slain two times. Then they got up, carried Jesus, went to kill him. So you can come here and be slain and roll like this. And then when the moment you leave here this evening, you go and steal. Yes. It's possible. The moment you leave here, you just go straight and fornicate. It's possible. But if the word of God comes and attaches itself to your will, that he will compel you. He will constrain you. You know, the spirit realm was here. And the presence of God was here before we started. Before the meeting began. Your soul only got heightened when we began to worship, so you could perceive what was already here. And when we finish this meeting and go, the presence of God will still be here.
Now, a lot of people don't have these simple revelations. So when they are in church, they are modest. They are organized. They are consecrated. And when they leave the church, where nobody sees them, they forget that the presence of God travels with them. So they do what they like. See that time you put that bomb shot and that peplum top and your tummy was showing. And you snapped and you wanted to upload. The Holy Ghost said, no. The presence of God that time was stronger than the one you had in the church. You know why? He said, where sin abounds, much more grace abounds. The presence of God that came to you that time, he was stronger than the one in the church. He wanted to trap iniquity. But because you did not know that you are a carrier of the presence, you thought you were outside of the presence that time. So you uploaded the picture. And you led 100 people to sing. The same way the guy that operates in the miraculous in his bathroom, and when he's coming out from the bathroom, it's not because he went to cloud nine. He has understanding that he is a carrier of the presence. So anytime there is a challenge, he stewards the presence of God from his spirit through his soul, and he touches the circumstance. We need to have these understandings, basic understandings of scriptures. We know a lot of big things. Oh, you tell somebody, I was listening to Apostle Dave. He said, what is the significance of debt? And the guy got up and said, debt provides a path of navigation where we can ascend into heights. Apostle said, no. What is the significance of the debt of Christ? What has brought navigation? So when we come and you don't hear those big things that stir your emotion, and then you go down, then you feel, God, this meeting was there. Those are the things that change your lives. Said this to some, he gave to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. The word perfecting is the Greek word katabismos. It means to equip with light. The duty of the fivefold is to equip you with truth, with light, so that you too can become a representative of the kingdom anywhere you find yourself. Not that you have a challenge in the office, you are calling pastor. And then you hear 10 testimonies in church, 9 is pastor. Somebody was in the market, there's a challenge. He called pastor from the market. And then pastor prayed and something happened. And then they are so proud, they come to church. You know, daddy prayed and something happened. In the dream, daddy prayed, something happened. You are babes. The ministry of the fivefold had not been invoked. If the ministry of the fivefold is invoked, where you are, you become the pastor there. That's how the world can be colonized. Paul said, be strong in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. The things that you have received of me, the same commit to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. The apostles don't need to go everywhere, but they have committed truth. So as you go, you fulfill the commission. You carry the gospel of the kingdom to the ends of the earth. That's the goal of the fivefold. But it begins with an understanding that you are a carrier of the presence. Let's look at the scriptures quickly. John chapter 14, verse 16 and 17. Look at what the Bible says. Now, when we go for outdoor meetings, we preach or we don't teach. Because there you need to strike. There are a lot of things you can't say. There is a mixed multitude. Some believe that you don't tie hair. Some believe you don't tie trousers. You can't finish that there. So you come and flow by inspiration. And when the atmosphere is charged, release the power of God. Let the Holy Ghost minister to their mind. That's how we preach in outdoor meetings. But in in-house meetings like this, sometimes as you are led of God, you settle down and show people truth. Even if the meeting finishes and everybody stand up like this and go home, God have achieved his purpose. The greatest power is to have people transformed. I was told that the meeting where Billy Graham gave his mind to Christ, he was the only person that got saved. And many years later, it was documented that he won 46 million souls. And he was rated 55 times as most influential by Times Magazine. That's the highest magazine and recognition platform in the U.S. It was in 2010 that the first footballer was recognized by Times Magazine as influential. It was Kaka. And football started at the global level in 1930 in Uruguay. But it was in 2010, many years later. But this is a man of God that was recognized 55 times. At his burial, he was placed in Capitol Rotunda. That is where American presidents who die on seat are placed for their funeral. He's the third person in the history of America to be placed there. But the meeting, he was the only person that gave his heart to Christ. You will go for that meeting and say, there's no power here. This is a disappointment. But inside that decision, 43 million souls entered the kingdom. That day, he made that decision. In heaven, 43 million souls were recognized in heaven. So don't judge after the sight of the eyes. Follow the Lord and you don't know what will come out of your destiny. When we have seen some of these things, then we are not moved. Sometimes the reason men of God are under pressure to move in power is so that people will not be disappointed. But if you understand and you can judge from the Spirit, you know that we look not after the things that are seen, but the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen, they are temporal. But the things that are not seen, the Bible says they are eternal. Those pillars are immortal pillars. They don't shake for anything. They stand the test of time. If in this meeting, five people make decisions, out of those five persons, 10 nations can be judged. 10 nations. Reverend Gosen has a favorite scripture that he uses. The madman of Gadara. Jesus crossed over the river just for the madman. And at the end of the day, the guy conquered a Decapolis. 10 cities. Power is not what you think it is. But it begins with an understanding of the presence. He said, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. The Holy Ghost that has come to abide with you forever. Everywhere you go, you carry the fullness of the presence of God. And if you don't have that understanding, when you are alone, you may not be a citizen of Zion. Somebody said, be at your best when you are yourself. He said, for your originality is your greatest value. Sometimes the test of your originality can only be ascertained when you are alone. If you are a true ambassador of the kingdom, we may not know it in church. When God comes for me, he won't judge me now on the altar. The only thing I'm reflecting now is a preacher. But you don't know who I am in my bedroom. You don't know who I am in the market. And I don't stay here for up to 2 hours. At most in a week, I stay here for 3 hours. But in a week, there are 168 hours. So even if you judge me here, even if what I'm doing here is accurate, it is too insignificant to judge me. That's why God sees in the dark. Apostle said there are 3 triangles of the faith. He says secret purity is one of them. Strict righteousness is another. And he says gracious kindness. Generous kindness. These ones, they are realities that travel with you everywhere you go. And only a man who is aware that he carries the presence of God will reflect these very rich realities in God everywhere he goes. The reason sometimes we feel as if the presence of God is not in a place is because of our carnality. It's our carnality. Carnality short circuits the consciousness of the presence. Not because the presence is taken away, but because the consciousness of the presence is short-circuited. So your soul can no longer ascend to touch the reality in the spirit. That does not mean the presence is departed, because the Holy Ghost has come to dwell with you forever. And carnality does not necessarily mean sin. It means being sense-driven. It means operating from the realm of fleshly life, soulish life. These are the things that short circuits the presence of God. So when we come into a corporate atmosphere like this and the synergy becomes high, your soul ascends because you are hooked up with a corporate synergy. There's a corporate alignment, so you glide at that time. And at that time, you begin to touch things. But when you leave the meeting, you come back to your sense-ruled nature. You know, the Bible said, to be carnally minded is death. According to Romans chapter 8, verse 6. To be carnally minded is separation from the spirit. To be fleshly minded is separation from the spirit. In Jude 1:19, he said,
These are they who are sensual, not having the spirit. The word sensual there does not really mean sexual immorality. It means to be ruled by the life of the flesh. He said, these are they who are ruled by their senses. They don't have the spirit. So carnality short circuits the presence and the realities of the spirit. So you find people who have challenges in different areas of their lives, and then they cannot access solution because they are not conscious of the life and the power of God for addressing that matter. You can be sick now. It's not because the power of God is not there to heal, but you felt that you got this from natural causes. So maybe it's mosquitoes. It's mosquitoes. But mosquitoes were not designed to give malaria. They are functioning according to the protocol of the fallen nature. And that thing you call mosquito, demons can come and amplify it. And mosquitoes can turn to cancer. But a spiritual man judges all things by the spirit. So when you are sense ruled, you judge things from this plane. And then you become a victim. But you must have this understanding that the reality and the truth of everything is rooted in the spirit. And you are a carrier of the spirit. So everywhere you go, you interact with life on the frequency of the spirit. The question is, how is that ever possible? How can somebody be in the spirit 24 hours? Because being in the spirit does not necessarily mean being unconscious and being overwhelmed by an atmosphere. Being in the spirit means being ruled by the truths of the Holy Ghost. The Bible said, let the word of God dwell in you richly. It said, you should set your affection on the things that are above where Christ lives. If the word of God dwells in you richly, and your daily meditations and contemplations becomes the word of God, even when you are sleeping, you can be in the spirit. Has it not happened to you that the intensity of God was so strong in your life that you were lying down and then scriptures were just running through you? Scripture. Sometimes if I discover that my intensity is going down, even when I'm sleeping, I'm playing scriptures. I'm playing messages. And then at some point, those messages that I'm playing becomes dream. And then the things that I'm hearing is being acted. It's being acted. Then when I wake up, I say, wow, what kind of dream is this? Then I discover that the dream I was dreaming now continues in the message. They are talking about angels. And then I'm dreaming, I see myself with angels doing things. I wake up, I say, wow, wow. Then the next thing I heard, Apostle say, talking about the cherubs. So when the word of God dwells in you richly, you can be in the spirit 24 hours. See, these are the secrets of men that are strong. Nobody should be so stronger than the other person. When you see a strong man, it's the extent to which his soul is conducting the life of God. And you don't know the discipline these people inculcate. They plant the word of God in themselves consciously. Until the word of God begins to speak from their inside. So somebody hits his leg on the stone and he said, be healed. He doesn't look there first. He collides, said, be healed. Another person hits his leg, Jesus, I don't tell you. What is coming out of you is fear. You are full of fear. So even if you close your eye and say, this leg, be healed now, nothing will happen. What you have inside of you is fear. The first thing you need to do is to have yourself saturated with the word first. So that unconsciously what will come out of you is life. Apostle said he was in the bus going somewhere and the bus staggered as if it was going to fall. And he said, Jesus. And then somebody, Jesus. They are speaking from different realms. Let the word of God dwell in you richly. If you know this, you will discover that everything, the Bible said, all things that pertaineth unto life and godliness all things that pertaineth, 2 Peter 1:3, unto life and godliness is through the knowledge of the Son of God. Is he healing you need? The knowledge of the Son of God. Is he money? The knowledge of the Son of God. Is he power? The knowledge of the Son of God. All things that pertaineth to life and godliness. So every one of us has a blank check from God. Is it peace you are looking for? The Bible said, they that are stayed, their mind are stayed unto God. Isaiah 26 verse 3. He said, God puts them in perfect peace. He puts them. You don't pray for peace. Just let your mind be stayed on the Lord. And God himself, it becomes his responsibility to keep you in perfect peace. Apostle said, his dad was sick and he was praying and fasting for many days. And when he was saturated with the realm, they now told him his dad had died. No, they were going home and he saw a poster, he saw his father. At that point, he couldn't feel anything here again. The soul has now been garrisoned by peace. Because your affections, your mind was stayed on the word of the Lord. He keeps you in perfect peace. There's nothing you are looking for that is not captured in the word. The Bible said he is the fullness of all things. And everything you need for life and godliness is in the word. Your own responsibility as a Christian is to have it planted in you. If you have not come to that point, you are not being helped. If you go for a meeting and it only makes you depend on a man, you are not being helped. Because even the man is terribly limited. Under the anointing, a man could be a superstar. If he comes down from the anointing, you'll be shocked. Even if you tell him to pray for headache, he'll be afraid. Because at that point, it's not the anointing, it's the level of faith he has that he operates on. So you see a man stand under the anointing and call the dead to come back to life. And then you go and meet him later with the dead body. He will run away and leave you. Because he may not have faith to confront the dead. But under the anointing, he has the enablement of the Holy Ghost. So your surest way of living is to build yourself by the word. The Bible said the just shall live by faith. And how does faith come? By hearing, and by hearing the word of the Lord. You are a product of the informations you have in your soul. When you see a man sick, he's full of the thought of sickness. He may not say, I'm sick. But he believes beyond reasonable doubt that you can't live in health in Nigeria. It's not possible. He will even say, is it not those people that came from Germany the other time and only 2 days in Nigeria they caught malaria? His thought is dominated by sickness. So it's possible. If you see a man in sin, you just know what he's thinking. His thought is full of iniquity. But if you see a man full of God, then you know what his daily meditations are. The psalmist says, how then shall the young man keep his ways before you? Psalm 119 verse 9. He said, by taking heed unto thy word. Thy word have I put in my heart, that I may not sin against you. If you don't put the word in your heart, you are a puppet in the hands of the devil. If you like, try to charge and do what you want to do. When you finish charging, you will go back and do it. I've seen people that say, I will not do it. Me, I will not. I can't do it. When they finish, then they carry themselves and go and do it. And then they come back, they break down, they start crying. Lord, help me. You are already helped in Christ. The problem is that you have not put Christ in you. And the only way you can put Christ in you is by the word. Because the word is not letters. The word is a person. And until the word becomes flesh in an area of your life, you can never see the results. The will of God from the foundation of the world was to save the whole world. But there was no way God could save the world until the word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. He said, in the beginning was the word. The word was with God and the word was God. The same was with God in the beginning. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So Jesus was the word and he was God. But the Bible said in verse 14, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. That is when salvation could be consummated. Because the word became flesh. In that area you are having a challenge, has the word become flesh? If the word has not become flesh, you don't have a solution yet. And if you run to a man to give you an instant solution, you may be setting yourself up. Hope you know that it's better not to deliver somebody who is demonized if he will not be discipled. Because the Bible said when an evil spirit is gone out of a man, he moves about in dry places, looking for where to rest. Not finding one, he returns to where it was casted from. And he does not return alone. He returns with seven more wicked demons. And that's not the end. The Bible says worse is the state of that man than he was before. So true salvation, true victory is being full and occupied with God. And the only capsule through which God can be full in your soul is by filling yourself up with the tank of the word. Let the word of God dwell in you richly. Dwell in you richly. That word becomes your wisdom. That word becomes your salvation. That word becomes your power. That word becomes your sanctification. Is it? God made Jesus to be all things for us. In 1 Corinthians 1:31, Jesus became our wisdom. He became our salvation. He became our sanctification. He became everything. Righteousness, everything. Jesus became. But is that Jesus in your soul? Life will not make meaning until you can discern the essence of the Christ. Until you can discern the essence of the Christ. The reason you come to church is not to make up the number. It's so that you can be made to discern the essence of the Christ. Apostle taught us Bible survey in Bible school, and he said every book of the scripture is revealing and speaking about Jesus. Every book from Genesis. If you have read Exodus and you have not seen Jesus, you have not read Exodus. You have read stories. Until you find Jesus in Exodus, you have not studied Exodus. You have only read stories and you can speak about the movement of Israel. Until you find Jesus in Leviticus, you have not read the book. You have only studied laws that some people practice because it cannot apply to your life until Christ is animated from it. How then can the word become animated in your life? It's until you see it. Until you see it. There is no transformation in view until you see. The Bible said in 1 John chapter 3 verse 1, it said, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed on us, that we should be called the sons of God. What manner of love? He said, the world does not know us because it does not know him. He said, but this is our assurance. He said, when he shall appear, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. If you see him in any area of your life, then your life in that area becomes transformed into his likeness. He said, we all with unveiled faces, beholding as in a glass the image of the Lord, we are changed. The word is metamorphosis. We are transformed into that image. So it doesn't matter if you were a harlot, it doesn't matter if you were drunk, it doesn't matter if you were demonized. It doesn't matter if you were bedridden. If you can see, you are transformed. Kenneth Hagin was bedridden for 15 years. And he kept looking at Mark 11, 23, 24. He kept looking. He was reading the New Testament. And when he got there, he kept looking. For 6 months, he was looking at Mark 11, 23, 24. He was looking at it. Until one morning, he could see Jesus. When they got up in the morning for breakfast, they were hoping to come carry him from his room. And Kenneth Hagin took his bath around 5 a.m. And he strolled to the parlor. And he sat on the sitting room and he was serving himself. And everybody that saw him came and passed by the side and sat down. Passed by the side and you know what happened? They were not seeing Kenneth Hagin. They were seeing the hand of God. Because it was not possible. This is a man that had a heart challenge. For 15 years, no prayers, nothing. The word of God came alive. We all with unveiled faces, beholding as in a glass, the image of the Lord, we are changed. We are metamorphosed. Where is that area of your life where you are suffering deficiency? Is it seen? Behold. Behold. That's why I was telling you about the holiness of God. If you can see, you become. Transformation is not in view until you can see. And see may take a lot of time. You will sit there and you study it and you contemplate it. You memorize it, you contemplate it. You talk it to yourself and you pray it until it becomes your reality. You stay there. Most Christians have not seen him. You know, Jesus looked at the Pharisees and he laughed at their folly. He said it's because they have neither seen his face nor heard his voice. If you see him, you are changed. The goal of the faith is becoming like the Christ. It is only a man who has become like the Christ that can do the works of the Christ. Because the works are not natural, they are supernatural. And until you enter into the reality of the supernatural birth, you can never manifest the works of Christ. The energy with which the work is executed is the energy of God. That's why even the faith with which is done is called the faith of the Son of God. Paul said, I live by the faith of the Son of God. And he said, the works that I do, he said, it is by the grace of God. It is God working in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. But you must have to stay in the presence until you can see him. We didn't know the day Moses saw God. But we knew that Moses stayed there for 40 days. And the Bible said when he saw him, when the presence of God descended on the mountain, the Moses that came down was a God. He was a God. He was not even aware. He said he wished not that his face shone like the sun. He didn't know his face was already glowing. But a God had come to live among mortals. You are supposed to be a wonder to your world. The things most of us pray for, we are destined to provide answers for. I read the story of Pastor Chris. This guy was a vegetable. He was always sick. He said his mother became a doctor in the house. If she sees any symptoms, she knows the drug to buy. This was a sickler. He prayed and studied the word. A point came, he entered into the anointing. And then he was healing by the anointing. In one of his meetings, he sneaked from the hospital and went for the meeting. Because the meeting was already scheduled. And the nurse said, don't be deceived. If you live here, you will die. When the time came, eternal life pushed him out of the bed. And he went for the meeting. As he was ministering, the power of God was healing people. And then he got tired. So he ran out and went to vomit. As he was vomiting, a woman came, saw him vomiting, and said, Pastor, help me. You know, people can be so selfish. He was vomiting. I said, Pastor, help me. And he carried his hand and placed on the woman, and fibroid dropped from her. Her problem was solved by the anointing. But he didn't have faith for his own solution. Until light broke out from the scriptures. And from that day, he has never been sick. Why? Because he has made life an immortality. He has brought life and immortality unto light by the gospel. Light and immortality have been revealed by the gospel. If it can appear to you, you will become a carrier of that kind of reality. That is what makes men of wonder. Your ears open. You can pick things from the bedchamber of a king. You are no longer limited by the forces of life. Did you not hear Apostle's story? A chronic stammerer. But the first gift of God that manifested in his life was a man mighty in words. When he spoke, the first time I heard him, it was as if a trumpet was sounding from heaven. I left this place with a deposit of God and I fasted for 8 months. I listened to his messages for 8 hours every day for 8 months. An energy entered into me. I did not hear a man speaking. I can quote the same things he said. Because those things latch themselves to your soul until they rid you of carnality. And they literally carry you into the realms of God. When Ezekiel saw the Lord, he fell down like a dead man. And he said, as the Lord spoke, he said the word entered into him and carried him unto his feet. When Jesus came to the tomb of Lazarus, he didn't need people to go inside to bring him out. He said, Lazarus, come forth. The guy didn't just come back to life. He was carried by the word to the door. And Jesus said, loose him. The word of God is the most potent thing that exists in the face of this world. Prayer. It is a transaction that makes you animate the word of God. If there is no word of God, prayer is useless. Warfare is not just talking. Warfare is shooting the word of God as a bullet at situations and circumstances. A man of prayer is a man that can animate the word of God on his lips. So when you come into that realm of height, you don't speak because you are full of knowledge anymore. The word of God that has been planted in your spirit begins to come out by the Holy Ghost. By the Holy Ghost. That is what changes the affairs of life. What part of your life to you date is being inspired by the word of God? No wonder you live your life like a slave. You say, I've seen an abomination on the face of the earth. You say that slaves ride on horsebacks, wise princes are trekking on foot. We who are supposed to be the solutions of this world, we are the one running from offices to offices, begging for help. That is because we want to apply the antidote of the world to solve a problem that has its root in the spirit. It doesn't work that way. The people of the world can go for connections and gimmicks. We will trust in the name of the Lord our God. Is this sickness that is ridding you of your glorious inheritance in Christ? What did the Bible say about sickness that you know? Is your problem a problem of stagnation? What does the word of God say about stagnation? Is your problem a problem of inability to get married? What does the word of God say about it? How much of it have been planted in your soul? What are your daily meditations? What are your contemplations? That is where your life oozes from. That's why I say guard your heart. Guard your heart. Guard your heart. Guard it like a garrison. He said, for out of it proceeded the issues of life. The issues of life. It's not life, because life is already planted in you. But for the realities, the issues, and the dynamics of life to come out of you, your heart must be secured by the word. These things are not emotional. They are not sensational. That is why we live by them. Emotions will ebb away with time. But he said, heaven and earth will pass away. Not one jot, not one tittle of this world will fail. We are planted on the word. It never fails. If the word fails, then God is a lie. Because the word is God. That's why the word is the highest reality in all of the creations of God. The highest. And it is by the word that all things are made. The highest responsibility of a Christian is to plant the word of God in his spirit. Sometimes it is planted in the place of study and meditation. Sometimes it is planted in the place of prayer. Two persons can be sick. One comes to God and says, Lord, heal me. And another guy comes and said, I am healed in Christ. For he was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement. I tell you the truth. The guy praying the word will have a result 5 times faster than the guy telling God, heal me. Because the truth is that God has already healed every one of us. Healing is not yet manifesting. It is your responsibility by the Holy Ghost to cause it to manifest. So the other guy is praying in ignorance, and he may be crying and weeping. He will pray there for 10 years. But the guy that prays the word,
He causes God to respond because God is indebted to his word. He said he will bring his word to pass. Are you struggling with sin? What do you know about the sanctifying power of the word? Have you planted it in your soul? The psalmist says, how then shall a young man keep his ways? This guy was a prince. He had everything he needed. It was his prerogative to live a life of pleasure. He contemplated all of this bogus lifestyle that was at his beck and call. And he said, how then can a young man keep his ways? Given that there is temptation everywhere, there is iniquity everywhere, and then I have the purchasing power, how then can I keep my ways before you? And the answer that came from the Spirit is that by taking heed unto the word. God is only responsible to answer to his words. He said, and they went from place to place, speaking the word of the Lord, and the Lord bearing witness to the word of his grace. He bearing witness to the word, granting that signs and wonders be done. It was not their word the Lord was bearing witness to. It was the word. They abode there long, speaking boldly in the Lord, who bearing testimony to the word of his grace, and granting that signs and wonders be done by their hands. The apostles were masters of these things. That's why in all of the arrays of activities that were present to them, they did not choose anyone. They said, we will give ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. You go and do other things. You have that luxury. But we, in order to execute the office of the apostolic, we must give ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. So a point came that as Peter walked by, his shadow could transmit the presence. And so many were healed through his shadow. You want to be a man of wonder, you must become a man of the presence. Carry the presence of God everywhere you go and live in the presence. The presence of God is the manifestation of his life, and his life is locked up in his word. You must be a man of the presence. Every man of old that did signs and wonders, every man of old that carried God and changed his world, was a carrier of his presence. Some dwelt in the presence of God until there was crisis in the palace, and they would go and call them from the caves. Because when you live in the presence, you live everywhere. He came and began to tell the mysteries that was happening in the palace. Moses entered the presence, and he traveled through the gate of the presence, and he saw the things that happened before man came on the face of the earth. The presence is unlimited. It is a sphere of perpetual continuum. It is only in the presence that you can see the future and the past at the same time. Men of the presence are solutions to their world. And every one of us that have been summoned to this apostolic conclave, we have been summoned to become carriers of solutions that the world needs. In the apostolic community, you don't come because you have needs. You come because you want to yield yourself as a vessel that God will use to advance the counsel of his will, to advance the frontiers of his kingdom. Everybody that comes into an apostolic community, he comes there because he is drawn by the Father. He has become an accurate legislator of the purposes of God. He has become one who is going to be a representative of the things that God stands for. That's why one of the hallmarks of the duty of the apostolic is to plant churches. They plant the kingdom wherever they go. It is not a title, it is a responsibility. When did the apostles' designation change from disciples to apostles? It was when they began to do the works of the apostles. It was the work that announced them. Corrupt world where people go with titles, but they do nothing for the kingdom. That's not the system we speak of. We speak of a realm, a God, and a kingdom that is coming. We know that that kingdom will swallow up this world. And we know that anyone that is not standing with God will be ebbed away by that fury. That is why we persuade men to repent. Paul said, having seen the fury of God, we persuade men. A kingdom is coming. A world is coming. A realm is coming. It will swallow up everything you know. And everything you stand for is a lie, because it will give way with time. Only that kingdom lasts forever. The consummation of that kingdom is when Jesus becomes the light of that world. And everybody will live by him. He will become the center and the circumference of that realm. That kingdom comes from the realms of the spirit. Everyone that has been summoned to be an ambassador of that kingdom has been given the highest honor in the kingdom of God. Such a one is reckoned to be greatest of all men that have lived. The Bible said the least in this kingdom is greater than John. And John is greater than everybody born of a woman. Because that kingdom is setting Jesus as the cornerstone in the heart of men. Every one of us must rise up and submit our will tonight. That kingdom should drive us, should power us, and cause us to live by it. Because your tongue was not given to you to communicate. Your tongue was given to you to create. The first thing the tongue did was to create. Anywhere there is chaos, you are supposed to pour out the word of God by the instrument of the tongue, so that the kingdom of God can be born. The higher purposes for the tongue, it's not for taste. If it's for taste, we will live for our appetites. It is given for procreation. It is given for birthing a realm, for creating a kingdom, for instituting a legacy that will never fail. Every one of us that is here today have been numbered in that assembly. And if we only give him half a chance, we will see that realm rage out of us. I've seen women that were not educated, that knows nothing, but because they gave themselves to this thing, they come to a place and they uninstall darkness, push back the hands of evil, and mighty works are wrought through them. Because faith itself is a mystery. It's not a function of intelligence. It is the planting of Christ in the heart of man, so that the same can express itself through the souls of men. Are you willing tonight to be summoned into that assembly? Are you willing to submit your will to that government? The Bible said Jesus, when he was baptized of the Holy Ghost, was driven by the Holy Ghost into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. He was driven. The will was submitted to a level where the Holy Ghost could command. Paul said, I go to Jerusalem bound in the spirit. He had become a prisoner on account of his own will. He was bound. The Holy Ghost had untamed ability of expression in the heart of Paul. He was bound as a prisoner. On his way, seven men spoke by the Spirit of God and said, don't go to Jerusalem. But he had a witness. Agabus came and carried his cloth, tied himself, said, the man that owned this, this is what will happen to him. But he said, I am bound in the Spirit. These are not men trying to live above sin. Sin is not a factor. When we speak about the kingdom, sin is not a factor. That's why when the mystery of the kingdom was explained in the book of Ephesians, the devil was not mentioned. It is not a factor. It's at this time, immortality has swallowed up mortality. Divinity has swallowed up humanity, until everything that comes out of us is an expression of the God life. That is the realm that is coming. That is the realm that can tame terrorism. It's not a realm of men that are given to appetites and the things that they can gain from God. It is men that can open up the floodgates of Zion, so that darkness can be mystified and swallowed up in victory. But it begins with the submission of your will. These things are deeper than your emotion. If you can be quiet and silence your spirit from the heart of heart, you begin to perceive the drawings of the Father. Can we be upstanding tonight? Because the Holy Ghost wants to draw men. Holy Ghost wants to draw men. The burden we always have is the burden of time. This service was to stop by 7:15. It's already 7:16. The burden is time. But you see, the beauty is that it doesn't take God eternity to do that which is eternal. That's what the apostle told us. In a second, a charlatan can be changed into a veteran. In a second, a terrorist can be changed into an apostle. It is by the outworking of the God life. You lift up your hands in reverence to God and ask him to come upon you and to walk his walk through your heart. Walk his walk through your heart. There's a realm deeper than your emotion. Your emotion can travel to heights in your soul. But for you to be carried into the spirit, then the Holy Ghost must have to dominate you. It is the Holy Ghost we want to connect to now. Not an emotional thing. He cometh and he calleth.
cometh and he calleth. Can you focus on Jesus for a second? Can you focus on Jesus for a second? For once, can you have the Lord touch you and convince yourself that it's not because you felt something, but because something came from heaven? I'm no longer under pressure to say a lot of things to stir the heart of men. I want to believe the word of God now. Because when I speak to a deaf person, he may not even hear the volume. Life must have to leave my utterance into his ears. When I speak to a harlot, she may not be moved by the excellency of speech. Life had to enter her soul and bring her under the government of the Holy Ghost. There's a realm that is deeper than your emotion. And if you want to walk with God at that realm, you must learn how to yield to his flow and to his life, to his power and to his glory. You can now speak in other tongues, even as you gain heights in the spirit. So you dearly beloved, building up yourself in the most holy faith, your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, praying in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. That is the highest transaction that carries a man into the spirit. You dearly beloved, building up yourself upon your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Every dark installation must give way tonight. Everything that have limited you from coming into the glory realm must give way tonight. The hand of God will come upon you and you will be carried into his realm. Arise in the spirit. Build up yourself. Take the responsibility of entering into the corridor of life. Rababondo poroboria tapabaras. Presque para sendro paranigo sondro paranigo liga paparata para tira sala esos hombres caborosco peroninas liga pa liga pa liga pa se porra paneco sura pana. God is about to arise from your spirit into your soul, into your body. Tamana koba la tamane omo 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 soba la tapaboriata. Zene, 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 zene. In sakariko preka fate porogo bomonia. Omona la kula kalta mata pale kaborata. Riara rina maraniniata baba bonosa lega baba koata. Eno kasata pila pa. We are ascending, we are ascending. We are ascending. The strongholds are about to be broken. The strongholds. The things that have held you back for many years, they are about to be broken. Those things that prevent God from moving through you, they are about to be broken. The things that held you back, they are about to be broken. Oh, mama, sama, mateme, la mamonea. Ebu, akabara, sama. Ebu, la hamate. Arise, arise, the Son of God. Let Son of God arise. Let your enemies be scattered. Ha ha! Arise, arise, Holy One. Omen, Ahanakaya.
we be quiet? Can we be quiet? Can we be quiet for a moment? You know, I told you it's not in the volume. It is the supply of the Spirit. The Lord is about to bring an ordination upon some few here. The Lord is about to anoint some of us for service. Can you lift your hands toward heaven? And tell Him in the quietness of your heart that you are ready. These things are not, they are not a show. It's heaven walking out through men. The Holy Ghost is going to brood upon you now. And the people that He has selected for Himself, His hand will come upon them. It's not a gimmick of emotion. He's not walking, He's not walking. And if He's walking, it's manifest. Now, Holy Spirit, I ask that you stretch forth your hands and touch your people. Breathe upon the ones that you have called upon your name and separated unto your holiness. Now, Lord, look upon them with mercy. Show mercy, Lord. Show mercy. Show mercy, Lord. Touch, Holy Ghost. Touch. Have mercy. Lord, look upon our iniquities. Purge them by your blood. Bring men and women into their various ordinations in the Spirit. Thank you, Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost will become heavier upon you now. Some of you will burst out like a furnace. River of life bursting out from your bowels. Touch, Holy Ghost. Zuma. 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 Meruta kibora sindoa. Ebetoa. Presuno krota padre digas. Zalalina kayatana. Inzuta, inzuta, inzuta. Oh, mama, 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 mama. Kaya, kaya, kaya. Let's be quiet. Let's be quiet if we can. We can. Let the Holy Ghost do His work. The people the Lord is touching, you can bring them. Let's lay hands on them. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Let it become stronger. 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 It's our ordinations, ordinations, ordinations. Ordinations. A betting of God. Bringing men into their ordinations. Into their ordinations. A betting, a betting. God bringing men into the ordination. A betting, a betting, a betting. Something deeper than your emotion can access. The Holy Ghost, walking through the souls of men, bringing their will before His throne. Ordinations. Ordination. Refuse to be distracted. Refuse to be distracted. Refuse to be distracted. Touch. 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 Let the atmosphere allow the density to increase. To increase. I'm not shouting. Ordinations, ordinations, ordinations. Let the souls of men crack. Let strongholds give way. Allow the Lord to breathe upon you. Breath of the Spirit of God. Allow the Lord. The power of God is on this road. Allow the Lord. Touch.
ordinations, 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 say, see, 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 ordinations, 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 touch, bringing men into their heritage, corporate heritage in God, ordinations, 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 touch, ordinations, 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 in the quietness of the spirit, you see that the weight of glory will become so much. A point will come when you can't hold yourself. You just go down quietly, quietly, at his feet, at the Lord's feet, at the Lord's feet, at the Lord's feet.
Locked up in their soul, activate. One, two, three.
Touch. Touch, Lord. Touch. It burns from your inside. Touch. Like a furnace of fire. Burns from your inside. Take it. Take it. Rehina, Rehina, Rehina.
Ade, 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 Ika puto, Elo.
Mama, halakane. Iriata, Iriata. Zua babara timo teka itali. Inde kiri kama paratinas. Rebebana kiro. Zondo bondo barokira. Ragi babara sembre nekatata. Iliata maata. Azuara tibra para para. Rebebana sondo. Ezokaria tima tamania. Reatata takera. Aya come la ta. Zinabando borotinas. Reske pete kira paradigas. Rebebatane kate. Coriana tanda kina paranamos riata tapata suolea penua peua peua induzantira ratingo bondo rababania tabalata ino dozo bomomono tomo take it tapa parata kira take it in the name of Jesus the fountain of God Anika le capora che Natalia, Iana na pale capo sate, e il lo borondo boro baba sande, Iliata caparina, oh asaba, indoro baba sande, Maria. Depths, depths in the spirit, depths in the spirit. The seer anointing. The seer anointing. The seer anointing that gives men capacity to shape the lives of men and to shape the corridors of civilization. The Lord honor you for your hunger and for your service in the kingdom. The Lord honor you. 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 I desire her. The Lord give you home. Home.